and stood transfixed. That was what a moored Sith had done to Richard. That was how he had been captured. Kara pressed her Aegil against the man's ribs. He shivered as he screamed. Blood soaked through his tunic in a spreading stain.
"Now, when I ask a question," she said in a quiet, authoritative tone, "I expect an answer. Do you understand?"
He remained silent. She twisted the Aegil. Colin winced when she heard his rib pop. He flinched and gasped, holding his breath, unable to scream. Colin felt as if she were frozen in place, unable to move a muscle. Richard had told her that Denna, the moored Sith who had captured him, had liked to crack his ribs. It made each breath agony, and screaming, which she soon provoked, excruciating torture. It also left the victim that much more helpless. Kara rose.
"Stand."
The man staggered to his feet.
"You are about to find out why I wear blood-red leather."
Unleashing a mighty swing, launched with an angry cry, Kara clouted his face with her armored fist. As he went down, blood sprayed across the bookcase. As soon as he hit the floor, she straddled him, a boot to each side of his hips.
"I can see what you're envisioning," Kara told him. "I saw the vision of what you want to do to me. Naughty boy."
She stomped a boot down on his sternum.
"That was the least of what you will suffer for that thought. You had better learn real fast to keep ideas of resistance out of your mind. Got it?"
She bent and drove her Aegil into his gut.
"Got it?"
His scream sent a shiver up Colin's spine. She was sickened by what she was watching, having once felt the profoundly painful touch of an Aegil, but worse, knowing that this was what had been done to Richard, and yet she didn't make a move to stop it. She had offered this man mercy. If he had had his way, he would have killed Richard. He had promised to kill her, too, but it was that threat against Richard that kept her silent and prevented her from stopping Kara.
"Now,"
Kara said with a sneer. She jabbed her Aegil against his cracked rib.
"What is your name?"
"Marlin Picard."
He tried to blink away the tears. A sheen of sweat covered his face. Blood frothed at his mouth as he panted. She pressed her Aegil against his groin. Marlin's feet kicked out helplessly as he wailed.
"The next time I ask a question, don't make me wait for an answer. And you will address me as Mistress Kara."
"Kara," Colin said in a quiet tone, still seeing the vision of Richard in place of the man.
"There is no need to..."
Kara looked over her shoulder, glaring with cold blue eyes. Colin turned away and with trembling fingers wiped a tear as it rolled down her cheek. She lifted the glass chimney of the lamp on the wall and used the one she held to light it. When the wick took to flame, she set her lamp down on a side table and replaced its chimney. It was frightening to see the cold look in those moored Sith eyes. Her heart pounded at the thought of how many weeks Richard had seen only cold eyes like that looking back as he begged for mercy. Colin turned back to the pair.
"We need answers, nothing more."
"I'm getting answers."
Colin nodded. "I understand, but we don't need the screams along with them. We don't torture people."
"Torture? I have not yet even begun to torture him."
Kara straightened, casting a glance to the shivering man at her feet.
"And if he had managed to kill Lord Rawl first, would you wish me to leave him be then?"
"Yes."
Colin met the woman's eyes.
"And then I would have done worse to him myself, worse than you could even conceive of. But he didn't hurt Richard."
A cunning smile curled the corners of Kara's mouth.
"He intended it. The canon of the spirits says that intent is guilt. Failure to successfully carry out the intent does not absolve the guilt. The spirits also mark a distinction between intent and deed. It was my intent to take care of him in my way. Was it your intent to disobey my direct order?"
Kara flicked her blonde braid back over her shoulder.
"It was my intent to protect you and Lord Rawl. I have succeeded. I told you to let me handle it. Hesitation can be the end of you, or those you care about."
A haunted look passed across Kara's face. Iron quickly repossessed her countenance.
"I have learned never to hesitate." "Is that why you were provoking him? To get him to attack you with his magic?"
With the heel of her hand, Kara wiped the blood from a deep cut on her cheek, a cut Marlin had given her when he had struck her and slammed her into the bookcase. She stepped closer.
"Yes."
She took a long lick of the blood from her hand while watching Colin's eyes.
"A moored Sith can't take a person's magic unless they attack us with it." "I thought you feared magic."
Kara tugged the sleeve of her leather, straightening it down her arm.
"We do, unless it's specifically used by the one who commands it to attack us. Then it's ours." "You always claim not to know anything about magic, and yet now you command his? You can use magic?" Kara glanced down at the man groaning on the floor.
No, I can't use it like he uses it, but I can turn it against him, hurt him with his own magic.
Her brow twitched.
Sometimes we feel a bit of it, but we don't understand it the way Lord Rawl understands it, and so we can't use it, except to give them pain.
Colin couldn't reconcile such contradictions.
How?
She was struck by how much Kara's emotionless expression was like a confessor's face, the face Colin's mother had taught her, showing nothing of the inner feelings about what had to be done.
Our minds are linked, Kara explained, through the magic, so I can see what he's thinking when he is thinking of hurting me, or fighting back, or disobeying my orders, because it contradicts my wishes. Since we are linked to their minds through their magic, our will to hurt them makes it happen.
She looked down at Marlin. He suddenly cried out anew in agony.
See?
I see. Now stop it. If he refuses to give us answers, then you can do what it takes. But I won't sanction doing anything that isn't required to protect Richard.
Colin looked up from Marlin's torment to Kara's cold blue eyes. She spoke before she thought.
Did you know Denna?
Everyone knew Denna.
And was she as good at torturing people as you?
Me, Kara said with a laugh. No one was as good at it as Denna. That's why she was Darkin Rawl's favorite. I could hardly believe the things she could do to a man. Why, she could...
With a glance at the Aegil hanging at Colin's neck, Denna's Aegil, Kara suddenly caught the meaning behind Colin's questions.
That was in the past. We were bonded to Darkin Rawl. We did as we were commanded. We are bonded to Richard now. We would never hurt him. We would die to keep anyone from hurting Lord Rawl.
Her tone lowered to a whisper.
Lord Rawl not only killed Denna, but he also forgave her for what she did to him.
Colin nodded.
So he did, but I have not. Though I understand how she did as she was trained and commanded, and her spirit has been a comfort and an aid to both of us, and I appreciate the sacrifices she has since made on our behalf, in my heart I can't forgive her for the horrifying things she did to the man I love.
Kara studied Callan's eyes a long moment.
I understand. If you ever hurt Lord Rawl, I would never forgive you either, nor would I ever grant you any mercy.
Callan held the woman's gaze.
Likewise. It is said that for a moored Sith there is no worse death to be had than by the touch of a confessor.
A slow smile came to Kara's lips.
So I have been told. It's fortunate we're on the same side. As I've said, there are things I can't forgive. I love Richard more than life itself. Every moored Sith knows that the worst pain comes from one you love. Richard need never fear that pain.
Kara seemed to consider her words carefully.
Darkin Rawl never had to fear that kind of pain. He never loved a woman. Lord Rawl does. I have noticed that where love is concerned, things sometimes have a way of changing.
So that was the heart of the matter.
Kara, I could no more hurt Richard than could you. I would lay down my life first. I love him.
As do I, Kara said, if in a different way, but with no less ferocity.
Lord Rawl freed us. In his place, anyone else would have had every moored Sith put to death. He instead has given us a chance to live up to his expectations.
Kara shifted her weight to her other foot as her eyes withdrew their cold assessment.
Perhaps Richard is the only one of us to understand the good spirit's principles, that we can't truly love until we forgive another their worst crimes against us.
Colin felt her face flush at Kara's words. She never thought of a moored Sith as having such depth of understanding in matters of compassion.
Was Denna a friend?
Kara nodded. And has your heart forgiven Richard for killing her?
Yes, but that's different, Kara admitted. I understand the way you feel about Denna. I don't blame you. In your place, I would feel the same.
Colin stared off.
When I told Denna, her spirit, that I couldn't forgive her, she said that she understood, and that the only forgiveness she needed had already been granted. She told me that she loved Richard, that even in death she loved him.
Just as Richard had seen in Colin the woman behind the magic, he had seen in Denna the person behind the fearsome persona of a moored Sith.
Colin could understand Denna's feelings at having someone finally see her for herself.
Perhaps the forgiveness of one you love is the only thing in life that really matters, the only thing that can truly heal your heart, heal your soul.
Callan watched her finger as she traced the scoop of a curled leaf carved in the banding of the tabletop.
But I could never forgive anyone who hurt him. And have you forgiven me?
Callan looked up. For what? Kara's fist tightened on her Aegil. Callan knew that it hurt a moored Sith to hold her Aegil in her hand, part of the paradox of being a giver of pain.
For being moored Sith. Why should I have to forgive you that?
Kara looked away.
Because if Darkin Rawl had commanded me instead of Denna to take Richard, I would have been as merciless as she, as with Berdine, or Rayna, or any of the rest. I told you, the spirits mark a distinction between the might-having and the deed. So do I. You cannot be held responsible for what others have done to you, any more than I can be held answerable because I was born a confessor, and no more than Richard can be held guilty because that murderous Darkin Rawl fathered him.
Still, Kara didn't look up.
But will you ever truly trust us?
You have already proven yourselves in Richard's eyes and in mine. You are not Denna, nor responsible for her choices.
With a thumb, Callan wiped oozing blood from Kara's cheek. Kara, if I didn't trust you, all of you, would I allow Berdine and Rayna, two of you, to be alone with Richard right now?
Kara glanced again to Denna's Aegil.
In the battle with the Blood of the Fold, I saw the way you fought to protect Lord Rawl, as well as the people of the city. To be Mord Sith is to understand that you must sometimes be merciless. Though you are not Mord Sith, I have seen that you understand this. You are a worthy guardian to Lord Rawl. You are the only woman I know worthy of wearing an Aegil. Though to you that may sound reprehensible, in my eyes it is an honor that you wear an Aegil. Its ultimate purpose is to protect our master.
Callan offered a sincere smile, understanding Kara just a little bit better than she had before. She wondered what the woman behind the appellation had been like before she was captured and trained to become a Mord Sith. Richard had told her that it was a horror far beyond anything that had been done to him.
In my eyes, too, because Richard gave it to me. I am his protector, as are you. In that way, we are sisters of the Aegil.
Kara smiled her approval.
Does this mean that you'll follow our orders for a change?
Callan asked.
We always follow your orders.
With a wry smile, Callan shook her head. Kara nodded toward the man on the floor.
He will answer your questions, as I promised you before, Mother Confessor. I won't practice my skills on him any more than is necessary.
Callan squeezed Kara's arm in sorrow and sympathy for the warped role the woman's life had been twisted into by others.
Thank you, Kara.
Callan turned her attention to Marlin and the problem at hand.
Let's try it again. What were your plans?
He glared up at her.
Kara shoved him with a foot. You answer truthfully, or I'll start finding some nice, tender places for my Aegil. Understand?
Yes.
Kara squatted down, fanning her Aegil before his face.
Yes, Mistress Kara.
The sudden threat in her tone seemed to annul everything she had just said. It frightened even Callan. Wide-eyed, he swallowed.
Yes, Mistress Kara.
That's better. Now, answer the Mother Confessor's question. My plans were, as I told you, to kill Richard Rawl and you. How long ago did Jagan give you these orders?
Nearly 2 weeks.
Well, there was that.
It could be that Jagang had been killed at the Palace of the Prophets when Richard destroyed it. That was what they had been hoping, anyway. Perhaps he had given the orders before he was killed.
What else? Callan asked.
Nothing else. I was to use my talent to get in here and kill the both of you. That's all.
Kara landed a kick on his cracked rib.
Don't lie to us!
Callan gently pushed Kara back and knelt beside the choking, gasping young man.
Marlin, don't mistake my distaste for torture as a lack of resolve. If you don't start telling me what I want to know, she whispered, I'm going to go for a long walk, and then to dinner, and I'm going to leave you in here all alone with Kara. Crazy as she is, I'll leave you alone with her. And then, when I come back, if you still think to hold out on me, I'm going to use my power on you, and you can't even imagine how much worse that will be. Kara can't even come close to what I can do. She can use your magic and your mind. I can destroy it. Is that what you want?
He shook his head as he clutched his ribs.
Please,
he begged, tears welling up again.
Don't. I'll answer your questions. But I don't really know anything. Emperor Jagang comes to me in my dreams and tells me what to do. I know the cost of failure. I do as I'm told.
He paused to gasp a sob.
He told me to come here and kill you both. He told me to find a soldier's uniform and weapons and to come kill you both. He uses wizards and sorceresses to do his bidding.
Callan stood, puzzling over Marlin's words. He seemed to have reverted to being hardly more than a boy. Something was missing, but she couldn't imagine what it could be. It made sense on the surface, Jagang sending an assassin, but something deeper didn't tally. She paced to the side table with the lamp and leaned a hip against it. With her back to Marlin, she rubbed her throbbing temples. Kara inched close.
Are you all right?
Callan nodded.
This worry is just giving me a headache, that's all.
Maybe you could have Lord Rawl kiss it and make it better.
Callan chuckled silently at Kara's concerned frown.
That would work.
She waved her hands in the air as if shooing a gnat, trying to chase away the doubts.
It doesn't make any sense.
The dreamwalker trying to kill his enemy doesn't make sense?
Well, think about it.
She glanced over her shoulder to see Marlin hugging his ribs and rocking on the floor. His eyes, even when they were filled with terror, and even, like now, when he wasn't looking her way, for some reason made her skin crawl. She turned back to Kara and lowered her voice.
Surely Jagang had to know that one man, even a wizard, would fail at such a task. Richard would recognize a man with the gift, and besides, there are too many people here who would be only too ready to kill an intruder.
But still, with his gift he might have a chance. Jagang wouldn't care if the man were killed. He has an abundance of others to do his bidding.
Colin's thoughts flicked about, trying to pick out the nettle of a reason behind her itching doubt. Even if he managed to kill some of them with his magic, there are still too many. A whole army of Mriswith failed to kill Richard. He can recognize one with a gift, with magic, as a threat. He doesn't know how to command his magic, much as you don't understand how to control Marlin's, beyond giving him pain with it. But his guard would be up, at the least. This just doesn't make any sense. Jagang is far from stupid. There has to be more to it. He must have some plan to this, something more than we're seeing.
Kara clasped her hands behind her back as she took a deep breath. She turned.
Marlin!
His head came up, his eyes at attention.
What was Jagang's plan?
To have me kill Richard Rawl and the Mother Confessor.
What else? Callan asked. What more was there to his plan?
His eyes flooded.
I don't know. I swear. I told you as he ordered me. I was to get a soldier's uniform and weapons so I would look like I belonged and could get close. I was to kill you both.
Callan wiped a hand across her face.
We're not asking the right questions.
I don't know what else there could be. He has admitted the worst of it. He told us his goal. What more could there be?
I don't know, but there's something still itching at me.
Callan sighed in resignation.
Maybe Richard can reason this out. He is the seeker of truth, after all. He'll figure out what it means. Richard will know the right questions to ask so that...
Callan's head suddenly came up, her eyes wide. She advanced a long stride toward the man on the floor.
Marlin, did Jagang also tell you to announce yourself when you arrived?
Yes. Once inside the palace, I was to give my reason for being here.
Callan stiffened. She snatched Kara's arm and pulled her close while keeping her eyes on Marlin.
Maybe we shouldn't tell Richard about this. It's too dangerous.
I have Marlin's power. He's helpless.
Callan's gaze darted about, hardly hearing what Kara had said.
We have to put him somewhere safe.
This room won't do.
She put a thumbnail between her teeth. Kara frowned.
This room is as safe as anywhere. He can't get away. He's safe in here.
Callan took her thumb from her mouth as she stared at the man rocking on the floor.
No. We have to find someplace safer. I think we've made a big mistake. I think we're in a lot of trouble.
Chapter 3
Let me just kill him, Kara said. I have but to touch him in the right place with my Aegil, and his heart will stop.
He won't suffer.
For the first time, Callan seriously considered Kara's oft-repeated request. Though she had had to kill people before, and had ordered the execution of others, she dismissed the impulse. She had to think this through. For all she knew, that could be Jagang's true plan, though she couldn't imagine what good it would gain him. But he had to have some scheme to what he had ordered. He wasn't stupid. He had to know that Marlin would be captured at the least.
No, Callan said. We don't know enough yet. For all we know, that could be the worst thing we could do.
We can't do anything else until we think it through carefully. We've already walked into a swamp without pausing to think about where we were going. Kara sighed at the familiar refusal.
Then what do you wish to do?
I don't know yet. Jagang had to know he would be captured, at the least, yet he ordered it.
Why?
We have to figure this out. Until we do, we have to put him somewhere safe, where he can't escape and hurt anyone.
Mother Confessor,
Kara said with exaggerated patience, he cannot escape. I have control of his power. Believe me, I know how to control a person when I have domination over their magic. I have had an abundance of experience. He is incapable of doing anything against my wishes. Here, let me show you. She threw open the door. Surprised men reached for weapons as they gazed around the room in silent, professional appraisal. With the extra light from beyond the door, Colin could see the true extent of the mess. A spray of blood crossed the bookcase at an angle. Blood soaked the crimson carpet, the spongy, reddish blotch extending past the perimeter of gold banding. Marlin's face was a bloody sight. The side of his beige tunic was dark with a wet stain.
You, Kara said. Give me your sword.
The blonde-haired soldier drew his weapon and handed it over without hesitation.
Now, she announced, all of you listen to me. I'm going to give the Mother Confessor here a demonstration of the power of a Mord Sith. If any of you go against my orders, you will answer to me.
She gestured back to Marlin.
Just like he did.
After another glance at the miserable man on the floor, some men nodded and the rest voiced their consent. Kara pointed with the sword at Marlin.
If he can make it to the door, you all are to let him go. He is to have his freedom.
The men grumbled objections.
Don't argue with me.
The Daharan soldiers fell silent. A Mord Sith was trouble enough, but when she had command of a person's magic, she was something altogether beyond trouble. She was dealing in magic, and they had no desire to stick their finger in a cauldron of dark sorcery stirred by an angry Mord Sith. Kara strode over to Marlin and held the sword down to him, hilt first.
Take it.
Marlin hesitated, then snatched the sword when she frowned in warning. Kara looked up at Talon.
We always let our captives keep their weapons. It's a constant reminder to them that they are helpless, that even their weapons will do them no good against us.
I know,
Talon said in a small voice.
Richard told me.
Kara motioned Marlin to his feet. When he didn't move fast enough for her, she punched his cracked rib.
What are you waiting for? Get up! Now go stand over there.
After he had moved off the carpet, she grasped the corner and flung it aside. She pointed at the polished wood floor and snapped her fingers. Marlin scurried to the spot, grunting in pain with each step. Kara snatched him by the scruff of his neck and bent him over.
Spit!
Marlin coughed blood and spat on the floor at his feet. Kara hauled him up straight, seized the neck of his tunic, and yanked his face close. She gritted her teeth.
Now you listen. You know the kind of pain I can give you if you displease me. Do you need another demonstration?
He vigorously shook his head.
No, Mistress Kara. Good boy. Now, when I tell you to do something, that is what I wish you to do. If you do otherwise, if you go against my orders, my wishes, your magic will twist your guts like a wash rag. As long as you continue to go against my wishes, the pain will only get worse. I won't let the magic kill you, but you will wish otherwise. You will beg me to kill you in order to escape the pain. I don't grant my pet's requests for death.
Marlin's face had gone ashen.
Now, stand on that spot of your spit.
Marlin moved both feet onto the red splat. Kara gripped his jaw in one hand and pointed her Ajeel at his face.
My wish is for you to stand right there, on that spot of your spit, until I tell you otherwise. You are never to so much as lift a finger to harm me or anyone else ever again. That is my wish. Do you understand? Do you fully understand my wishes?
He nodded, as best he could, the way her hand clamped his jaw.
Yes, Mistress Kara.
I would never hurt you. I swear. You want me to stand on my spit until you give me permission to do otherwise.
Tears welled up anew.
I won't move. I swear, please don't hurt me.
Kara shoved his face away.
You disgust me. Men who break as easily as you disgust me. I've had girls last longer under my aegis, she muttered.
She pointed behind.
Those men won't hurt you. They will do nothing to stop you. If you get to the door against my wishes,
You are free, and the pain will be gone. She glared at the soldiers. You all heard me, didn't you? If he reaches the door, he's free. The soldiers nodded. If he kills me, he's free.
This time they didn't agree until Kara yelled her order again. Kara turned her hot glare to Kalan.
That includes you. If he kills me or if he makes the door, he's free.
No matter how improbable, Kalan wouldn't agree to such a thing. Marlin wanted to kill Richard.
Why are you doing this?
Because you need to understand. You need to trust my word.
Kalan forced out a breath.
Get on with it,
she said, without agreeing to the terms. Kara turned her back to Marlin and folded her arms.
You know my wishes, my pet. If you wish to escape, this is your chance. You reach the door and you're free. If you want to kill me for what I've done to you, now's your chance for that, too.
You know, she added, I don't think I've seen nearly enough of your blood. When we're done with all this nonsense, I'm going to take you somewhere private, where the Mother Confessor won't be around to intercede on your behalf. I'm going to spend the rest of the afternoon and night punishing you with my Aegil, just because I'm in the mood. I'm going to make you regret the day you were born.
She shrugged.
Unless, of course, you kill me, or escape.
The soldiers stood mute. The room exuded a heavy silence as Kara waited with her arms folded. Marlin carefully looked around, studying the soldiers, Kalan, and Kara's back. His fingers worked on the hilt of the sword, drawing it tighter into his grip. His eyes narrowed as he considered. Watching Kara's back, he finally took a small, tentative step to the side. To Kalan, it looked as if an invisible club had whacked him in the gut. He doubled over with a grunt. A low groan wheezed from his throat. With a cry of effort, he dived for the door. He hit the floor screaming. He clutched his abdomen with both arms as he writhed. With fingers curled in agony, he threw himself out flat on the floor and tried to claw his way to the door. It was still a goodly distance. Each inch he gained racked him with ever worse convulsions of pain. Kalan winced at his panting screams. In a last, desperate effort, he snatched up the sword again and staggered to his feet, straightening partially, lifting the sword above his head. Kalan tensed. Even if he couldn't make his arms do his bidding, he could fall and cleave Kara. The risk to Kara was too great. Kalan took an urgent step forward as Marlin bellowed and tried to bring the sword down to hack at Kara. Kara, watching Kalan, held up an admonishing finger, stopping Kalan where she stood. Behind her, Marlin's sword clattered to the floor as he crumpled, holding his stomach as he shrieked. He crashed to the floor, his distress obviously growing precipitously with each moment as he writhed on the polished wood floor like a fish out of water.
What did I tell you, Marlin?
Kara asked in a quiet voice.
What are my wishes?
He seemed to grasp the meaning of her words as if they were from a person yelling as he threw a lifeline to a drowning man. His frantic gaze hunted the floor. Finally, he saw it. He clawed his way to the spot of his spit, moving as quickly as the racking pain allowed. At last, he managed to stagger to his feet. He stood, fists at his side, still shaking and screaming.
Both feet, Marlin,
Kara said casually. He looked down and saw that only one foot was on the spit. He jerked the other closer, onto the red spot. He sagged, and finally fell silent. Kalan felt herself sag with him. His eyes closed. Panting, dripping sweat, he stood trembling with the lingering effects of the ordeal. Kara lifted an eyebrow to Kalan. Understand? Kalan scowled. Kara scooped up the sword and marched it over to the door. As one, the soldiers all backed up a step. She held the sword out, hilt first. Reluctantly, its owner retrieved it.
Any questions, gentlemen?
Kara asked in an icy voice.
Good. Now stop banging on the door when I'm busy.
She slammed the heavy door in their faces. Marlin's lower lip sucked in and out over his teeth with each panting breath. Kara put her face close to his.
I don't recall giving you permission to close your eyes. Did you hear me say you could close them?
His eyes opened wide.
No, Mistress Kara.
Then what were they doing closed?
Marlin's terror quavered through his voice.
I'm sorry, Mistress Kara. Please forgive me. I won't do it again.
Kara.
She turned as if she had forgotten Kalan was even in the room.
What?
Kalan tilted her head in gesture.
We need to talk.
You see?
Kara asked when she had joined Colin at the table with the lamp.
You see what I mean? He can't hurt anyone. He can't escape. No man has ever escaped the Mord Sith.
Colin lifted an eyebrow.
Richard did.
Kara straightened and let out a noisy breath.
Lord Rahl is different. This man is no Lord Rahl. Mord Sith have proven themselves unerring thousands of times. No one but Lord Rahl ever killed his mistress to reclaim his magic and escape.
No matter how improbable, Richard has proven that Mord Sith aren't infallible. I don't care how many thousands Mord Sith have subjugated. The fact that one escaped means that it's possible.
Kara, I'm not doubting you. It's just that we can't take chances. Something's wrong. Why would Jagang throw this lamb in a wolf's lair and specifically tell him to announce himself? But it's possible Jagang was killed. He might be dead and we have nothing to fear. But if he's still alive and anything goes wrong with Marlin here, it will be Richard who pays the price. Jagang wants Richard dead. Are you so stubborn that you're willing to put Richard at risk for the sake of your pride?
Kara scratched her neck as she considered. She took a quick glance over her shoulder at Marlin standing on the spot of his spit, his eyes wide open, sweat dripping off the end of his nose.
What do you want to do? This room has no windows. We can lock and bar the door. Where can we put him that would be safer than this room?
Colin pressed her fingers over the burning ache under her sternum.
The pit.
Colin twisted her fingers together as she came to a halt before the iron door. Marlin, looking like a frightened puppy, stood silently in the center of a knot of Dharan soldiers a ways back up the torchlit hall.
What's the matter? Kara asked.
Colin flinched.
What? I asked, what was the matter? You look like you're afraid the door is going to bite you.
Colin pulled her hands apart and made herself put them at her sides.
Nothing.
She turned and lifted the ring with the keys from the iron peg in the coarse stone wall beside the door. Kara lowered her voice.
Don't lie to a sister of the Aegil.
Colin mimicked a quick smile of apology.
The pit is where the condemned await execution. I have a half-sister, Cirilla. She was the queen of Gallia. When she was here, when Adendril fell to the Order, before Richard liberated the city, they threw her in the pit with a gang of about a dozen murderers. Have a half-sister? She still lives, then?
Colin nodded as the mists of memory swirled before her mind's eye.
But they had her down there for days. Prince Harold, her brother, my half-brother, rescued her when they were taking her to the block to be beheaded. But she's never been the same since. She's withdrawn into herself. On rare occasions, she comes out of her stupor and insists that the people need a queen able to lead them, and that I become the queen of Gallia in her place.
I agreed.
Colin paused.
She screams inconsolably if she comes awake and sees men.
Kara, hands clasped behind her back, waited without comment. Colin gestured to the door.
They threw me down there, too.
Her mouth was so dry that it took two attempts before she could swallow.
With those men who had raped her.
She surfaced from the memories and sneaked a quick glance at Kara.
But they didn't do to me as they did to her.
She didn't say how close they had come. A sly smile came to Kara's lips.
How many did you kill?
I didn't stop to take an exact count as I escaped. Her brief, flitting smile wouldn't stick.
But it scared the wits out of me, being down there, alone with all those beasts.
Colin's heart pounded so hard at the memory that it made her sway on her feet.
Well,
Kara offered,
do you want to find another place to put Marlin?
No.
Colin took a purging breath.
Look, Kara, I'm sorry I'm acting this way.
She peered briefly at Marlin.
There's something about his eyes, something strange.
She looked back to Kara.
I'm sorry. It's not like me to be so jittery. You've only known me a short time. I'm not usually so apprehensive. It's just that... I guess that it's just because it's been so peaceful for the last few days. I've been separated from Richard for so long, and it's been bliss being together. We were hoping Jagang was killed and that the war was ended. We were hoping he was in the Palace of the Prophets when Richard destroyed it. He still might have been. Marlin said it's been 2 weeks since Jagang gave him orders. Lord Rahl said Jagang wanted the palace. He was probably with his troops when they stormed it. He's no doubt dead.
We can hope. But I'm so afraid for Richard. I guess it's affecting my judgment.
Now that things have come together, I'm terrified that it's going to slip away from me. Kara shrugged as if to dispel Colin's need for apology. I know how you feel. Now that Lord Rawl has given us our freedom, we have something to fear losing. Maybe that's why I'm so jittery, too. She flipped her hand toward the door. We could find another place. There have to be other places that won't touch painful memories for you.
No. Protecting Richard comes above all else. The pit is the safest place in the palace to keep a prisoner. We have no one else down there now. It's escape-proof. I'm fine.
Kara lifted an eyebrow.
Escape-proof? You escaped.
The memories repressed. Colin smiled. With the back of her hand, she gave Kara's stomach a dismissive slap.
Marlin is no mother confessor.
She glanced back up the hall at Marlin.
But there's something about him. Something I can't put my finger on. Something strange. He frightens me.
And he shouldn't, not with you controlling his gift.
You are right. You shouldn't be concerned. I have complete control of him. No pet has ever slipped from my control. Ever.
Kara lifted the key ring from Colin's hand and unlocked the door. With a tug, it drew open on rusty, squeaking hinges. Dank stench wafted up from the darkness below. The smell clenched Colin's stomach muscles with the memories it carried. Kara took a nervous step back.
There aren't any rats down there, are there?
Rats? Colin glanced to the dark maw.
No, there's no way for them to get in. No rats, you'll see.
Colin turned her attention to the soldiers back up the hall, waiting with Marlin, and gestured toward the long ladder resting on its side against the wall opposite the door. Once they had the ladder through the door and it had thudded down in place, Kara snapped her fingers and motioned Marlin forward. He scurried to her without hesitation, anxious to avoid doing anything to displease her.
Take that torch and get down there, Kara told him.
Marlin pulled the torch from its rust-encrusted bracket and started down the ladder. With a frown of puzzlement, Kara followed him down into the gloom when Colin motioned her to the ladder. Colin turned to the guards.
Sergeant Collins, you and your men wait up here, please.
Are you sure, Mother Confessor? The sergeant asked.
Are you eager to be down there in a small space with an ill-tempered moored Sith, Sergeant?
He hooked a thumb behind his weapons belt as he glanced to the opening into the pit.
We'll wait up here as you command.
Colin started backing down the ladder.
We'll be fine.
The smooth stone blocks of the walls were so precisely dry-fit that there wasn't so much as a fingernail hole to be had. Looking back over her shoulder, she could see Marlin holding the torch and Kara waiting for her nearly 20 feet below. She carefully put a foot in each rung, mindful not to step on the hem of her dress lest she fall.
Why are we down here with him?
Kara asked, as Colin stepped off the last rung. Colin wiped her hands together, brushing off the grit from the ladder rungs. She took the torch from Marlin and went to the wall before them. She stretched up on her toes and pushed the torch into one of the brackets on the wall.
Because on the way down here I thought of some more questions to ask him before we leave him here.
Kara glanced at Marlin and pointed to the floor.
Spit!
She waited.
Now stand on it.
Marlin moved onto the spot, careful to get both feet on it. Kara eyed the empty room, checking the shadows in the corners. Colin wondered if she was making sure the place really was free of rats.
Marlin,
Colin said. He licked his lips, waiting for her question.
When was the last time you received orders from Jagang? Like I told you before, it was about 2 weeks ago.
And he's not sought you out since then?
No, Mother Confessor.
If he was dead, would you know? He didn't hesitate with his answer.
I don't know. He either comes to me or he doesn't. I have no way of knowing of him between his calls.
How does he come to you?
In my dreams.
And you've not dreamed of him since you say he last came to you a fortnight ago?
No, Mother Confessor.
Colin paced to the wall with a hissing torch and back as she thought.
You didn't recognize me when you first saw me.
He shook his head. Would you recognize Richard?
Yes, Mother Confessor.
Colin frowned.
How? How would you know him? From the Palace of the Prophets? I was a student there. Richard was brought there by Sister Verna. I knew him from the palace. A student? At the Palace of the Prophets? Then you... How old are you? 93, Mother Confessor.
No wonder he seemed so strange to her. sometimes like a boy and sometimes seeming to have the demeanor of an older man. That explained the sage bearing in his young eyes. There was a presence about those eyes that didn't fit his youthful frame. This would certainly explain it. The Palace of the Prophets trained boys in their gift. Ancient magic had aided the Sisters of the Light in their task by altering time at the palace so that they would have the time needed, in the absence of an experienced wizard, to teach the boys to control their magic. That was all ended now. Richard had destroyed the palace and the prophecies, lest Jagang capture them. The prophecies would have aided him in his effort to conquer the world, and the palace would have given him hundreds of years to rule over those he vanquished. Colin felt the weight of worry lift from her mind.
"Now I know why I felt there was something strange about him," she said as she sighed her relief.
This is the end of Side 2. You should now change the balance control to the full right position and listen to Side 1 again. This time...